This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It is time for The Fantasy Show, Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Andy McNamara alongside Shaw Ali. Championship weekend, folks. It's here. Your fantasy football championship. Either you're going for gold, you're going for the title, the ring, whatever, or you're, you know, maybe cheering against one of your league mates. Maybe it's just, you know what, you still need your fantasy football fix. You do the DFS contest, your DraftKings, whatever. We got you covered for any and all of that. Get us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. Happy New Year, my friend. It's championship weekend. It's go time.
Yeah, Happy New Year, Andy. I hope you celebrated appropriately and had some fun as we ring in 2022 with a fantasy football championship, like you say, I hope for many people. I think when it comes to this year, it's been a strange year, right? Like I was kind of reflecting, I guess, on the past year, and I mean, it's crazy to think we spent another year in a pandemic, but still, I mean, I'm glad we still got live sports. But still, I mean, even amidst live sports, so many guys out with COVID over the course of this entire season. And I know the NFL changed their protocols and so on, but it's just been such a wild, wacky, topsy-turvy year. I mean, look, Kirk Cousins is out for this weekend.
Yes.
Is that going to affect your shares of Justin Jefferson? Gibson is out. Do you want to play Jarrett Patterson? Like, there are so many questions that we could answer for this weekend, just as it has been over the course of the entire season. It's just been so crazy. So I'm looking forward to not wrapping up the season, but I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of questions people have, because it has just been a strange, to say the least, fantasy football year.
Should we get the hashtag Sean Mannion season going on Twitter? Mannion season. With me now? Is that a dark horse play? Is that a look ahead show to your danger zone pick? You're going all in 400 day for Mannion?
It's really not. It's not a look ahead.
Would you like to know the great Sean Mannion's statistics over his distinguished NFL career? Yeah, filling in for Kirk Cousins, folks. So again, you have your Justin Jefferson, your superstar, maybe sprinkling a little KJ Osborne or something. Well, you might want to reconsider. Now, physically, Sean Mannion, if you were looking at a quarterback, and maybe that's why he still is employed, 6'6", 230, that's pretty good. It's a good-looking quarterback, right? Third-round pick of the St. Louis Rams in 2015. However, the on-field product, less desirable. He appeared in 13 games over his NFL career. He has thrown zero touchdowns and three interceptions.
Andy,
Sean Mannion season.
Like I have told you many times on this program over the last year and a bit or so, the safest job to have in the world is as an NFL backup quarterback. That's what, like,
yes.
We need to be reincarnated as backup quarterback. I could throw zero touchdowns and stand there on the sidelines for millions of dollars a year. I could also do that.
So me and you have the same amount of NFL touchdowns as Sean Mannion. Listeners, you have the same amount. So if you're feeling down, it's a new year, and you're like, oh, I ate too much or something, remember, folks, you have as many touchdowns as an NFL quarterback who's starting this Sunday.
Yeah.
How about that? Right? Yeah. That makes you feel pretty good. It makes you feel less good about the surrounding pieces, though. Yeah, and you brought up some other really important names. Antonio Gibson out with COVID. What I also heard show is that, not that Taylor Heinicke was, you know, lighting up the world as the Washington football team's quarterback, but apparently they're going to be having a little fun in Washington. Now, Riverboat Ron is going to be mixing and matching in both Heinicke and Kyle Allen.
Oh,
that's got to be good for your fantasy team, right? That's got to be good for Terry McLaurin.
That's terrible.
Why?
If you're starting Scary Terry, that's got to be pretty scary for you, right? If you're starting Terry McLaurin, if that's the case, if that ends up happening on Sunday, I really do think you gotta. I hate saying bench Terry McLaurin on championship season, but he has been so disappointing this year, partially because of the injuries. I think he had like a concussion at some point, and he, you know, some banged up over the course of the season, like guys guys get. But I mean, with the quarterback situation being what it is in Washington, I just I want to stay away from that as much as humanly possible. Like, even Logan Thomas, he was kind of a bust this year, largely because of injury. Nothing, yeah. You know, not entirely his fault. Ricky Seals Jones didn't great, you know, not the greatest of follow up picks, right? I mean, Taylor Heinicke himself flashed a little bit, largely because he likes to run the ball, but boy, that whole Washington offense, J.D. McKissic, when he went down, when he went back on the injured reserve and was done for the year, Andy, like, that was, what, about a month ago?
Yeah.
The entire Washington offense just ground to a halt, right? Like, especially in fantasy. Like, I do think that, like, DeAndre Carter, for example, if he was used in a more, you know, like, if they used him and Terry McLaurin like they do in, like, I know we're talking about Minnesota, like they do with Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, I think there could be some value there. But, I mean, I don't know. They just don't, and it's a mess there. I wonder if there'll be a new quarterback in Washington next year.
Oh, there's got to be. Fitzpatrick's gone. All the pieces are there for Washington. You have the core pieces all around you.
Yeah.
You just need the quarterback. But that's a big ask in a weak quarterback draft class. So we'll have to see. Some other notables out with COVID. Denver Broncos smacked in the mouth. Jerry Jeudy out. Bradley Chubb out on the defensive side. And Yare Luzavon Miller. So that really, it takes a hit to the defensive side for Denver, right? And then you look at Tim Patrick as well. Oh, man. Yeah, this is rough. This is a, check out at Rap Sheet, folks. And boy, this is just a, I think I'm going to say, I'm going to make a proclamation. I think you should bet against the Denver Broncos this week.
Yeah, I think they're playing the Chargers, right? So yeah, I think the Chargers, anyway, after losing that embarrassing game to the Texans last week. And again, they had a number of pieces out with injury and with COVID certainly as well. Like, they were missing Austin Eckler. They were missing Derwin James. They were missing a whole bunch of guys. And the Texans kind of had their way, especially on defense. Or I guess they had their way on offense. The Chargers were terrible on defense. And here's hoping that, I guess, in essentially a must-win game, if the Chargers want to make the playoffs, they essentially have to beat the Denver Broncos later today. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they bounce back. I don't know how many Chargers I'd be willing to get into my lineup outside of Justin Herbert. I'm going to say Justin Jefferson. Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, and maybe Keenan Allen. Like, Mike Williams at this point, I'm out on. I think Jared Cook was also put on the COVID reserve list, right? So you obviously can't start him. It's been a bit of a mess just from top to bottom in the NFL this week. Are you starting any Denver Broncos this week then, Andy? Because I know we always have this conversation about if someone goes down with COVID. Like, we had this kind of conversation with Sean Mannion. But I mean, like, with no Kirk Cousins, I'm sure it impacts the viability of Justin Jefferson, for example, right? So in Denver, if, you know, you have Drew Lock at quarterback and two of his top receiving weapons are on the shelf, does that damage Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon if they're going to be facing stacked boxes, like, literally every down?
Well, the problem is, too, both are questionable. Now, also, both are expected to play, but Gordon has, I think it's a thumb and a knee, and Williams has a knee, so you know the Chargers are just going to stack the box.
Yeah.
Right? But it almost might not matter. Like, you might get those short passes. Like, I'm just trying to stay clear of the Broncos. However, I know many people in their championship bracket are going to have one or two of those guys. So it really depends. That's why you can hit us up on the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location, and on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. Tell us what the other options are on the waiver wire. The one question, folks, I hate the most is, like, who should I pick up instead of this guy? It's like, I can't see your team. I can't see your league, folks. I can't do it. You have to tell me who's available. So tell me who's available, and then we can try to help you out. That's always the thing. I'm like, I don't know who's there. But yeah. try to stay clear. And yeah, on the Chargers, I wonder if without Jared Cook, that means a little bit more for Jalen Guyton, who's back. You're not touching any of the other tight ends, Steven Anderson, Trey McKitty.
No.
We're not doing any of that. Hey, we got some sad news from around the world of football. The great John Madden passed away. And also Dan Reeves, we got news on Saturday, passed away as well, who went to 9 Super Bowls as a player and a head coach. So two of the great coaches and personalities in NFL, John Madden and Dan Reeves, passing away. So that's super unfortunate, obviously. And it seems like for Madden anyway, there was a great story. I think it was NFL Network. I don't know. But it was a great story. And they said how he was around with his family on Christmas Day. They watched the documentary, and then 2 days later, he passed. Not a bad way to go out at 85, I guess, Joe.
Yeah, it's true. Absolutely, yeah. There are few players in the game of football who I think you could, 100% definitively say are synonymous with the game of football, the word football. And I think Madden is one of those guys, if not the top guy. Because, I mean, think about his career, right? The guy spent, 10 to 12 years as a coach. He has the highest winning percentage of any coach in the history of the NFL, above guys like Tom Landry and Vince Lombardi and Don Shula and stuff. He won a Super Bowl with the Raiders, only ever coached with the Raiders. He went on to become a broadcaster for many, many, many years with Summerall and Scully and Michaels and all the really, really famous guys you know and love. And then, of course, he lent his name to the eponymous video game. I mean, we give away copies of that video game here on the Fantasy Show, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's just crazy to think that, there are people, Andy, who have played Madden who maybe have never watched him coach. Like, I never watched Madden coach, right? Because he stopped coaching, in the late 70s, early 80s. For me, I mostly know him as a commentator, right? A color commentator. And I know about the turducken thing. I can't believe he made the turducken famous, and that's what he's known for. And you know, apart, the telestrator, being a maniac with the telestrator, he's just, what a legend. And I think he'll be sorely, sorely missed. I have not seen the All Madden documentary because I think it aired in the United States on Christmas Day.
Yeah,
I think it's airing here, I think tomorrow, on the 3rd or 4th, I think so.
Oh.
If you're Canadian and you're looking forward to it, you'll be able to watch it, I think, pretty soon, either on demand or on one of the local channels.
What a way to go. Sure, that's how I want to go out. I want a full complimentary, fully complimentary, 2-hour documentary on myself, watching it with loved ones, and then keel over at 100 years old. That's how I want to go. Just putting it out there. You can make that happen, right?
Yeah, I'll make that happen for you.
Wait a while, please.
Well, at 100 years, for you at 100 years old, I think we're almost there. Like, mentally and emotionally, I think you're only about 10 years away from that.
That's correct.
I can make that happen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Hey, you know what? Before we take our first break, show, both of us, and we talk the talk every week, folks, right? And it's tough, no matter what league you're in. So many factors going. You can be a great fantasy football advice giver, player, and if you get hooked with injuries or something goes wrong, there's sometimes just nothing you can do. However, you and I each are in a fantasy football final. Me and our Fan 591, you and your long-term in-depth one as well. So we're both in fantasy championships.
Yeah, I'm in another one. I guess the one I'm in is another Sportsnet one, but it's not it's not only a Fan 591. It's some of our coworkers are in it, from other parts of the station. But so some people from the Tim and Friends program are in this one and so on, right? But it was when I joined, when I first started working here, right after I was an intern, essentially. But yeah, you moved on to the finals. I texted Andy. Okay, everyone, this is how this went down. Andy was done on Sunday night. Andy was done. It was over. The dream was dead. He was playing Dan Marino, our former producer, and Marino was going to win. Andy had the Miami defense left. Marino had Alvin Kamara. What are the chances in any given day that Alvin Kamara, even if the defense has a decent day, what are the chances that Kamara just doesn't have a good day? Anyways, the chances are pretty good for Andy, apparently, because Andy is now moving on to the finals. Oh. Thanks to not only the Miami defense, as I understand it, Andy.
No, hashtag fins up, show. Hashtag fins up. I might just have to buy a Miami, just a generic, maybe a Patrick Laird. Maybe I'll buy a Patrick Laird jersey or something like that if I win the title. Because that was ridiculous. Show, you were right. It was the Monday Night Football game. And I'm looking, and on the Yahoo side, it says you have 1% chance. I'm like, nuts to this. I'm not, I was bitter. I'm like, I'm coming up with excuses how I can twist this around to why I lost and just being bitter. And I needed the Miami defense to get 15, plus points, and Alvin Kamara pretty much to, you know, trip on the way out and not play. By God, show it happened. It pretty much happened. Kamara had 6.9 fantasy points, and all of a sudden, yeah, I get a text from you. You're like, hey, man, you should, are you watching this? I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, ha, ha. And I look, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Eight sacks later, a defensive touchdown, and 25 glorious fantasy points against Ian Book and the New Orleans Saints catapulted me, along with the mighty leg, 16 points of Ryan Succop the day before, catapulted me to the finals because, show, I had James Robinson in the lineup. Well, we all know what happened to him. One play, one fantasy point, Achilles gone. Matt Stafford, worst game as a Ram, 3 interceptions, got under 10 points. I'm like, this, stop it. My guy Russell Gage got me 3.9 fantasy points. I'm like, this, disgusting. I'm done. Miami catapults me. It's the fantasy God's will, show. It's out of my hands. It's divine intervention.
Well, yeah, now you are going to be playing our pal producer Daniele, who is the producer of the Fan Morning Show from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern. So here's hoping you win. Part of me is saying here's hoping Daniele wins so I don't have to hear about you winning. So that would be, that'd be nice too.
It's tight. Apparently, for the rankings, he is a 55% favorite. So he's a slight favorite on me. So we'll see. I'm going to ride. I think, again, I have a choice between the Miami and Buffalo defense, show. And I know, you know, common sense might say Buffalo, but damn it, how can I put that beautiful teal of the Miami Dolphins away against Tennessee?
Hey, look, that's a tough one. If you ride your players to a championship, and not just you, obviously, Andy, but just people in general. Before we hit the break here, my wholehearted advice to everyone, and this I think for you that's like a legitimate decision, but for others I just want to say, like, don't get cute on championship weekend. Like, if you have Trey Lance on the bench but your starting quarterback is, like, I don't know, Josh Allen, let's say, then, you know, like, just start Josh Allen, right?
That's great advice.
Josh Allen. You know, what did Shania Twain say, Andy? Dance with the one that brought you. Just adhere to the immortal words of Miss Twain, because you don't want to be making decisions like that. Because if it doesn't work out, you will be thinking about that, I promise you, well beyond next season.
Yeah, you might as if you're gonna go down with your stars, right? One quick problem I'm having, show. Matthew Stafford makes common sense to play against Baltimore, but Matthew Stafford has stunk for the last 2 weeks. So I have a legitimate. I'm looking on my bench, show. I'm looking at those dead eyes, those dead fantasy eyes of Taysom Hill. Oh, he's leering back at me, show.
Don't do it.
He's looking right at me.
No.
He's looking right at me. Oh, look at that smile on his profile pic. He's taunting me. Oh, I might do it. I don't know.
No, don't do it, man. Don't do it. Matthew Stafford is playing the Ravens, the worst secondary maybe in the entire NFL. The injury-ravaged Ravens. Andy, I'm banking on this in my championship. He is going to throw the ball to Cooper Kupp 1,000 times. He is going to throw the ball down the field to Cooper Kupp and Van Jefferson and OBJ and Tyler Higbee 1,000,000 times later, all right? Like, you just I don't know. I know the Saints, I think they got back Deontay Harris off the suspension, but I mean, I don't know if you want to take that risk with
Taysom's legs. It'd make for an interesting Sunday afternoon, if nothing else. My goodness. Okay. We're going to step aside. We will come back to start our fantasy football start sits for every game, Championship Sunday. Or again, if you're out of the championship, some fun DFS contest plays too. You can still have fun with fantasy football even when it's done, and then we'll continue that as well as the weeks go on into the playoffs. We can still have a lot of fun. We'll do some show contests as well to keep everybody engaged with fantasy football. I'm Andy, that show. This is the Fantasy Show, and you're listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We are back and rolling on The Fantasy Show, Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network Championship Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. it is go time. I'm Andy McNamara. That's Show Ali. Get us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. You can send your Twitter questions in there. Text as well, 59059 to the People's text line. Name and location. We'll get to our Danger Zone pick as well. And throughout all this, folks, too, hey, you can send in your questions for your DFS contest. You're playing some DraftKings or something. Yeah. You're out of your playoff. No problem. You know, we got you. But let's start, Show, with our fantasy football start sits for each and every game, and we begin with the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Washington football team. We talked about Washington in the top of the show. Now, we should say real quick, too, because of COVID protocols, we are recording this on Saturday afternoon out of our hands, but we will be taking your questions as well on Sunday. So this all could change what we're telling you. Make sure you're keeping track on Twitter, on the depth charts and everything yourself, and you can hit us up with questions on Sunday morning. Also before kickoff. So Washington Show, like, honestly, like, I hate when we have to do this, but with Antonio Gibson on COVID, a Taylor Heineke, Kyle Allen cocktail that we're apparently we're going to be treated to at quarterback, and Terry McLaurin, so he can't be thrown, can't trust him. I honestly would recommend not starting one player from the Washington football team.
Ooh, yeah.
I
think there will be people who are desperate enough to start Jared Patterson and Terry McLaurin, right?
We're
like, those people exist.
They do. I don't know if they're in the championship, but they might.
They might. You might, especially if COVID has hit your team or you managed to limp into the championship game despite injuries and so on, right? Like, I totally get that. But Terry McLaurin, like, if you have to start Terry McLaurin, he is, in my opinion, a WR3. And it's not really because of his own fault. It's just, like you say, right? The quarterback conundrum is what's contributing to that. And similarly, like, if Gibson was going to play, he'd probably be an RB2. But because he's not playing, and we know that already, Jarrett Patterson is, like, in my opinion, he's no more than a flex play only because, I mean, this game does not seem like it's going to be super kind to Washington from a game script perspective. So, like, how many rushes are they going to give Patterson if they're down by, like, 21 points, right?
Yeah.
I think you're right. If you can, I would start no one. But ultimately speaking, I would, if you have to, sure, flex Patterson, WR3 for scary Terry, but that's about it.
Yeah, there's always a chance for McLaurin because of his talent. Now, the Eagles side, much more interesting. Jalen Hurts, you can pop him in because of the legs always, right? And they have worked in more of the running game, but I still think as a back-end QB1, you can get him in there. This is the important part about running back. Miles Sanders is out. Jordan Howard will be a game-time decision. It looked like he was trending towards playing. And then Saturday, it was said that the stinger that he suffered puts him legitimately as a game-time decision. So if that's the case, and probably I would think so at this point, even if he does go, Boston Scott, you can probably feel pretty good lighting him up.
Yeah, look, if Jordan Howard sits, I would feel okay about starting Boston Scott. It would still probably be as like a lower end RB2, like one of the like mid to low tier RB2.
Yeah.
With the knowledge that there's higher upside, it's just whenever Jalen Hurts is your quarterback, I don't know if you want to like predict rushing touchdowns for any one player because like if they get down to like the 3 yard line or the 5 yard line, even the chance of Jalen Hurts like faking a handoff and taking it himself is very, 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 very high. Right? Wait, hey, which is great if you're a Jalen Hurts owner, right? If you're a Hurts owner, you want that all day. But if you're a Boston Scott owner, that's it's just crazy to me that you could very well see, after the championship is done, like after most seasons are done, Andy, they're always like, this player was on like X percent of championship winning teams. Like, and I have no doubt that Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp and those guys will be high on that list, but it'll be weird to think that like Justin Jackson is maybe on a lot of those teams, and maybe this week Boston Scott's going to be on a lot of those teams if Howard doesn't play.
Yeah, no, you're right. So the Eagles side, Dallas Goedert got to go him as a TE1. And then Devonta Smith had a nice bounce back week, still very, very inconsistent, but I think he falls into a higher WR3 or flex category above, let's say, a Terry McLaurin, but still sort of in that window there for me when it comes to the Eagles.
Yeah.
And now let's go on to this one, Panthers versus Saints. Now for the Panthers, there are two important defensive players rejoining the team off of the COVID list. That's defenders Brian Burns and Shaq Thompson are back. Now, what does that mean overall? Well, I don't think still when we look at just the Panthers side of things, show this is a really uninteresting team. Like, I can't trust DJ Moore. We can't trust Chuba Hubbard. It just seems like they're sleepwalking to the end of this season.
Yeah, isn't that a bummer? That's such a bummer. Like, I'll put it this way. If Sam Darnold gets the lion's share of playing quarterback, and the problem with it is that you don't actually know if he will, but, I mean, let's just say for the sake of argument he does. If he does, then DJ Moore is someone you can play. Because once Sam Darnold came into that game last week, Andy, Robbie Anderson barely saw the ball. Like, really, any Panther barely saw the ball apart from DJ Moore for the rest of the game, right? Like, it was like and we knew that from the beginning of the year when Sam Darnold was on that just torrid pace, right? Like, in the first, five, six games of the season, thereabouts. And he was just, all he was doing is throwing the ball to DJ Moore. So if you can stomach that and you think that Sam Darnold is going to get the most time on the field at the quarterback position, then, hey, I think you can start DJ Moore, but that's probably it. I don't know if I would, even if Sam Darnold, and we know he's going to hand the ball off, I don't know if I really want to trust Chuba Hubbard against, the Saints defense, which is pretty nasty anyways, right? So
yeah,
apart from
those guys back.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I want any part of Chuba Hubbard this week. And here's the other thing. I didn't mention this in the first part, but we talked about Jerry Jeudy, for example, how he is out for the Denver Broncos and Kirk Cousins is out for the Vikings and so on. If there is someone you know you're not going to play and your season does, in fact, end this weekend, then you can probably drop that guy. Like, if you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you can drop guys now. Look, I dropped Jerry Jeudy the other day because my season ends at the end of Monday night. And, no one's going to play him. Like, not even my opponent, because he's out, right? So you may as well drop him and roster someone else just on the off chance something happens. Like, affect too much in the end. But I'm just saying, if you're going to have an empty roster spot, you might as well have it taken up by, a guy who could play instead of a guy who's definitely not playing.
At least have some bench depth to try to cover yourself off. Have an extra wide receiver, running back, tight end. See, cover those areas. Maybe a QB, depending on your bench depth. But, cover those areas off in case some random COVID thing pops up, which we know they can. What's super frustrating about DJ Moore, show? This guy has got double-digit targets over the last four games. Over the last four games, 10, 11, and 12. But, show, he's just eclipsed the double-digit fantasy point status on three of those occasions, and low, 13 and a half, 12 and 11, with numbers like that, you think, wow, he should be blowing it up. But no, he's got zero touchdowns over that stretch. And it's just very, very frustrating with how many looks he gets, just that the quarterback plays really letting him down. Because, man, imagine you up those a little bit and sprinkle in a touchdown. You got WR1 right there.
Yeah, you know, we always talk about, the Black Monday, the head coaching carousel that kind of begins after, I guess now it'll be week 18, right? The QB version of Black Monday is going to be insane this offseason. There's going to be a lot of QBs changing hands this year in the offseason, I bet, Andy.
I think you're right. It's going to be, there's a lot of openings. There's a lot of openings there.
Including in Cleveland, maybe?
Yeah, Baker's contract's guaranteed for year 5, my friend. He's fine. Bake Show's going to be fine, and they're going to beat the Steelers' butts on Monday night and give me another gif, another meme of Big Ben Roethlisberger crying to end the season. I can't wait for that to happen, I hope. Let's go on to Buccaneers versus the Jets. And let's start with the Jets here, Show, because, oh boy, I got myself a conundrum. I got myself Michael Carter on one of my teams. I know we all love Michael Carter, right? Problem is, Tampa Bay's run defense is really good, really good, as in giving up the third fewest fantasy points to running backs this season. Good. So I'm trying to balance out for myself, and I know many listeners will as well, trying to balance out the usage Michael Carter will get anyway, being thrown the ball, getting handed off the ball, the strong likelihood they're going to have to play catch up, and what that means for him. Because Michael Carter still, in PPR especially, I think could be a decent play, maybe a flex or back end RB2.
Michael Carter is so interesting to me because, you know, they essentially funnel passes, right, via the defense because their rush defense is so stout, right? Yeah, so I think I would be a little wary of playing Michael Carter. I mean, we knew last week, for example, with so many guys out for the Jets, that he's going to see an insane amount of time on the field, and he did. He was on the field for 73% of the team's snaps, which is just a wild turnaround based on what was happening at the beginning of the season, right? He was also on the field for over 80% of the team's pass attempts. So I think against Tampa Bay, who we know is banged up in the secondary as well, especially for a Super Bowl contender, I think you can play Michael Carter knowing that they're going to throw him the ball kind of almost like a slot receiver, kind of, right? Coming out of those little zigzag routes out of the backfield. I don't hate it, but I think you absolutely have to temper expectations, because apart from Michael Carter, it's him and Braxton Berrios, basically,
oh, baby.
Right? Because we know, are you playing? I don't think Jameson Crowder is going to play. He was doubtful last I checked. You're not playing Keelan Cole. You're not playing Tyler Kroft. I don't know how many guys you really should be targeting in the Jets passing game. I will say this, though, Andy. Credit where credit is due. Zach Wilson has played very well over the last month and a bit. He has. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if you want to start him outside of super flex leagues, but still, I mean, he is not the worst option out there likely on the waiver wire.
He's better than Sean Mannion for the Vikings.
Yes.
Who's
yes.
filling in for Kirk Cousins. I'll give him credit on that front. Yeah, you know what? He's not throwing a lot of touchdowns, but real life football wise, he's doing okay. You know, it's a tough assignment. It's a tough assignment. Now, Mike Evans back for the Buccaneers. Very important that they have him back in the lineup. And now, you look at it, obviously you're starting Tom Brady, right, Joe? I don't care what happened with that weird New Orleans game or whatever. You got Brady, Antonio Brown is questionable, Breshad Perryman's back. That's a tough one, because I do like what Perryman did a couple years ago there. Obviously Brady was not there at that time, but then you have Tyler Johnson, you also have Scotty Miller. It just feels like between if Antonio Brown goes and Mike Evans is back, I feel like I'm guessing to figure out who might get those couple big catches outside of those guys.
Well, I kind of wonder also. I kind of wonder on Andy if maybe AB won't play, just because, I mean, I know we've talked about this before, in the sense that every team in the NFL, including the Buccaneers, have lost grisly, awful matchups to teams they should have spanked by multiple touchdowns, right? But you know, against the Jets, the hapless Jets, the Buccaneers defense being what it is, i.e. very good. I wonder, especially if AB apparently retweaked that ankle in practice this week, if they might not just say, look, we already going to make the playoffs, we already won the division, maybe we don't play AB this week and just let Brady throw the ball to Mike Evans and company. Because, I mean, like you said, Gronk obviously is still there. Evans may play. And then all those other guys, I don't think you want to take a chance on any pass catcher not named Evans or Gronk if AB doesn't play. Because there's also a very high chance, considering how terrible the Jets' rush defense is, there's a really high chance they hand the ball off to Ronald Jones 40 times later today.
Yeah, could be a big Ronald Jones day. Antonio Brown is going to be a game-time decision, so you're going to want to track that. But I like that point, Joe, of your why risk it?
Yeah.
You're going to beat the Jets, You should, very handily.
Should. Yeah.
So, yeah, track AB, but go with the stars there for sure. And I'm with you. I expect a big day from Ronald Jones. Let's go on to Dolphins versus Titans. Oh, my beautiful Miami Dolphins, that glorious defense. Fins up, show. Fins up. to get me into the fantasy finals of our Fan 590 League. Yes. So here's the comparison and why you just don't look at projections and stat lines as far as just overall where they're ranked. You look at more recency. And the fact is, the Buffalo Bills defense for the first half of the year was near unstoppable and at the top of just about every single defensive category. Well, fantasy-wise, show, they have not eclipsed 7 fantasy points since week 12. So we're looking at a month of 3-1-7-5 fantasy points, where you look at the Miami Dolphins And you think, okay, well, they don't have as much luster. But look at what they've been able to do since week 9. 17 fantasy points, 18, 5, 23, 9, 9, 25 against a Tennessee team that's still, you know, A.J. Brown's coming back. But that run game isn't scary. I don't know. If I had a choice between the two, I think I'm going to go with Miami again.
Yeah, I think, like, again, if you have just this a smash start elsewhere, like, you have an interesting conundrum with Buffalo. Because I, like, that might be one of the few defenses I start over Miami this week, just because, you know, the Falcons are hurting and they're quite bad. And the Bills need to win out if they want to win the AFC East, yep. Right? So, yep. Like, I think that's something I would probably consider, but in this situation, like if you're considering that versus, I don't know, like the Chargers defense, or you're considering that versus the 49ers defense, maybe I would probably still go with Miami. I do agree, because I mean, Miami's played so well. Are you really afraid of your old pal Ryan Tannehill? Are you really afraid of Deontay Foreman? Are you really afraid of the non AJ Brown wide receivers? And even AJ Brown's gonna have his hands full. The Miami cornerbacks, starting with Xavier Howard, like, they're all really good too, right? So I think that I kind of answers the question in a roundabout way of who I would start from this Titans offensive team, because I think I would bench Ryan Tannehill this week. Like, if you, yeah, in the championship weekend, maybe in the super flex, it's a little different. 2 QB super flex, it's different. But in 1 QB leagues, which I would imagine is the majority of leagues, in 1 QB leagues, there's got to be better options than Ryan Tannehill, right? Like, even last week when they got A.J. Brown back from injury, he still kind of did not give a great fantasy performance, despite the fact that he was throwing the ball to A.J. Brown, like, in what felt like every single down, essentially.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. Ryan Tannehill, he hasn't gotten you over 18 fantasy points since week 10.
Yeah.
And he's just been in a steady sort of decline and mediocre. Like, honestly, Show, I would go with, I would roll the dice if it's in a comparison, let's say, with Ryan Tannehill and Taysom Hill. I go with Taysom Hill. The guy might get you 9 points, but he might get you 25. I know Ryan Tannehill's going to get me like 15. Can I afford that? That's a decision you have to make for your fantasy team and where you're at in your other areas. But if you can't, might be worth rolling the dice a little bit with somebody like Tannehill, like Taysom Hill over a Ryan Tannehill, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. I know I said in the opening segment, like, don't get cute. I don't think this would be an example of that. I think
no.
When it comes to Tannehill, like, he has been so up and down that I think it's valid to question whether or not you should start him, especially if you have a higher upside option like Taysom Hill, because he's not like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Ryan Tannehill is not.
No, absolutely not. And then we look at the Dolphins. Jalen Waddle in. Definitely, we know when Jalen Waddle is in. And whether there's a little inconsistency or not, the guy's going to be getting the ball. Jalen Waddle, for sure. Devontae Parker, Show, depending on your situation, you could talk me into him as a flex. Certainly, it goes down with Jalen Waddle being in. But Parker still is serviceable over, let's say, an Albert Wilson, or certainly an Isaiah Ford. And Gesicki, man, we've said it all year, right? Like, the tight end side, a good day might be 7 fantasy points. And with those guys in there, that might be where you're going to get them. You're taking Gesicki over any of the stiffs that Tennessee's trotting out at tight end.
Oh, I don't think I can even name who. Jeff Swaim?
Swaim! Jump in the deep end with me, Show. I'm the Swaim.
Stop.
Huh?
No.
The doctor, Anthony Firkser, the vaccine, Firkser. Getting my Firkser booster. No, we're not. Michael Pruitt, no. All no's at tight end for Tennessee.
Yeah.
Those names?
As far as Miami goes, Andy, Jalen Waddle, like I said, monstered. That guy, like, he very well could win Rookie of the Year this year. Like, he is, that's so good. Like, he is, like, I think it's a tight race this year between him, probably Ja'Marr Chase. I'm sure Mac Jones is up there somewhere. But generally speaking, I think Jalen Waddle, fantasy-wise, has been just unreal. Devontae Parker, I would just like to say my condolences if you started Devontae Parker and you needed just like 2 or 3 points from him to advance to the championship last week, because he had a whopping 0 targets and 0 fantasy points. He had a healthy dose of the Lattimore vaccine, Andy. That's what happened last week. He got shut out by Marshawn Lattimore.
Nothing's getting through.
They just didn't have to throw the ball to him because Waddle carried the load, And it was just generally speaking, the defense did most of the work, right? I think, honestly, the most interesting, because I don't think you're starting very many running backs against the Saints defense anyways, right? Like you're not, or pardon me, the Saints defense, the Titans defense. Anyways, you weren't doing it last week against the Saints. You're probably not doing it this week. But Tagovailoa, I think with Tua, he's actually been decently serviceable this year, I feel like. The real problem is just that he doesn't run around all that much anymore. Mm-hmm. Like maybe it's because he suffered that rib injury or what have you, but he just doesn't, hip. He's not moving around as much as he used to. And without that extra value via his legs, he's just not throwing the ball enough either to be super valuable. So if he's going to return you QB2 numbers, I'd probably bench Tua as well for someone else.
Well, absolutely. You have to. Tua's a perfect example, similar to, let's say, a Teddy Bridgewater and even a Sam Darnold at times, where their play is not fantasy relevant themselves, but they can make the pieces around them fantasy relevant. They can be good enough to get the pieces there. And I think that's what Tua does. But yeah, you can't be starting Tua in this case. Absolutely not. The defense, though, I think you could. Let's get to Jaguars versus Patriots here. And geez, man, James Robinson. Ooh, again, thank you to the fantasy gods. I'll put out some offering or something. I don't know what, show. I don't know what you do for the fantasy gods, but to have James Robinson go down for one fantasy point, and then I'm still able to win with the Miami defense, that's a disaster. The Jags are just like, Urban Meyer's been fired. They're just in the mind of, get me the bleep out of this season and into the offseason. And they're interviewing coaches, or they're talking about interviewing candidates. They're checked out, man. Like, I don't know. Do you love the Jags? Anybody really hop out to you?
Their Ogunbowale we can talk about in a sec here, but I'll just say this. The Jags are going to be, obviously, I don't know what the spread is. I haven't checked. I think it was definitely almost, it was either approaching two touchdowns, or it might have eclipsed two touchdowns. It might have been more, because this game also sees, I want to say, like 20 guys on the COVID list for the Jaguars, right? So they are already depleted as heck for this game against the Patriots, who have now lost a couple games in a row, probably won't win the AFC East at this point. So the Patriots, if they want to remain in the playoff race, they have to spank the Jaguars later on. So I think this game, you want no part of most players on this Jags offense, but Dare Ogunbowale, I wonder, the Patriots are pretty stout against the run. They do allow the fewest touchdowns to running backs, but what that stat doesn't always take into account is how they do against pass catching running backs. I think that right. Fewest touchdowns to running backs is like rushing touchdowns, but I don't think that necessarily takes into account guys catching the ball through the air and running it into the end zone. So who knows if their Ogunbowale does that, but I don't think, like, in half or full PPR leagues specifically, if Trevor Lawrence has to check the ball down a million times, and he probably will, especially if your wide receivers are like Laquon Treadwell and Marvin Jones, maybe he's not a bad flex play, but beyond that, I want no part of the Jags.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you know what? Maybe. Like, I wouldn't mind if I'm going, and you have a different mindset, obviously, if you're playing DFS, you know, DraftKings contest and going for your title. Marvin Jones, as your third wide receiver, I don't mind in a DraftKings contest. He had 13 targets last year, and we saw the beginning of the year for the first quarter of the season, that he was Trevor Lawrence's favorite target. He can get you in PPR low teens, you know, 12 to 14 fantasy points.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Do I want to be risking that? My goodness, no, for a title. But, you know, it might be a case, show, depending on who's available, your own COVID and injury situation. Marvin Jones at least is going to get a lot of passes his way. And we always say on the show, opportunity equals success in fantasy football, and at least he's going to get some opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a good point. I will say that I think every player, I mean, obviously not counting Trevor Lawrence because he's a quarterback, but every position player on this Jags offense is more valuable in half or full PPR, right? If you're playing in a standard league, I would stay the hell away from every player for Jacksonville.
Agreed.
Because, like you just said, I mean, who was it? Marvin Jones got 13 targets, 8 passes for 74 yards. If you take out 8 points from Marvin Jones' total last year in PPR, you're not. That's terrible, right? Like, you don't want to start that in championship weekend. So I just, that's really my only caveat. But I think you're right. I do like those kind of like sneaky under the radar plays for the Jags. If you're looking to fill out your DFS lineup, for example, and the Patriots, I mean, I think like most weeks we've said this year, the most value comes here from the running game, right? Like, I mean, Damian Harris, whoo, what a day last week, Andy. He was a monster. So I hope you started Damian Harris because he was just on fire. But Ramondre Stevenson is back, and Harris has been battling a hamstring injury for a couple of weeks. So they're the two main plays, I would think. I guess in the PPR, you could start Jacoby Myers if you want to, but... Like, if where are you at on the Patriots offense? So apart from Harris, Stevenson, Myers, are you starting anyone? Hunter Henry, maybe, I guess?
Boy, the thing is, Hunter Henry, he's got to get you a touchdown. He's got to get you a touchdown, or it's not working out. That's the problem. Is Hunter Henry a real-life, really good addition, and the Patriots have themselves set up? Yes, this is a really good real-life football team. Fantasy-wise, like, we're looking. I'm just looking back. In games he doesn't catch a touchdown, it's like 3 fantasy point show.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that. That's the thing. So if you think he's going to catch a touchdown, which he may, like he could, I wouldn't want to necessarily predict that going in, but maybe also you don't have a good option. Maybe you had a Jared Cook in your lineup, and you're like, well, would I like Henry over one of the Charger backups? Yes. That doesn't mean he's going to do well. So it's all about looking at the opportunity and who's going to be there and where the ball is going to be spread around. It's a dice roll. You're really just throwing it up in the air, honestly.
Before we wrap up with Raiders-Colts, I got to ask you, the Jaguars have given up the 10th most fantasy points per game, which is about 17 points, to opposing quarterbacks. And Mac Jones, I think his basically like his only 2 significant fantasy days have come against teams like that, teams that are, you know, bad teams in the through the air, one of those teams being the Jets. So is there any chance, is maybe more so certainly in Superflex or 2QB leagues, but any chance you're starting Mac Jones in either of those kinds of leagues?
I would rather not, Joe. And again, it's because as a real-life quarterback, and he's done a great job as a rookie. He's done very well. Last week was not good. But overall, no, I don't, because I think it's a case, again, where you really have to hit that sweet spot. And even when he's had, like, really good games, potentially, he can still just get you in those mid to high teens. Like, and that's if he's having a good game. He's eclipsed 19 fantasy points. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4 times this year.
Right.
I would much rather try and say, like, look, I'll gamble more on, again, a Taysom Hill, a Trey Lance.
Tyler Huntley?
Jalen. That the reports were Lamar Jackson. He was limping, and apparently there's a chance he could play. I think that's maybe just coach speak.
Right.
But if Tyler Huntley's in there straight and it's not like Lamar Jackson is out and there's no chance of him coming in, I'd play Tyler Huntley, man. That guy can throw at just as bad as Lamar Jackson and can run faster.
Yeah, it's
That's
funny.
A backhanded compliment.
I dare say Tyler Huntley did a better, not last week certainly because he didn't play, but the week before, the week he got the start, Tyler Huntley did a better Lamar Jackson impersonation than Lamar has done all season.
All year,
right?
Yes.
Like, my
God. Show we had in the when the Browns played him, Jadeveon Clowney said that Tyler Huntley is faster than Lamar Jackson. Clowney said they were hoping that Lamar would come back into the game because Huntley was making them winded.
Really?
That's legit speed.
Wow. That is like, crazy. And hey, look, and Lamar Jackson is really fast as it is, right? So
that's what they're saying. Yeah, like you got to track that situation, but I wouldn't mind that over a Mac Jones who, boy, the floor is there, but man, like everything has to go right for him to get you like 20 fantasy points. That's a bit too risky for me.
Yeah, you know what? That's fair. That's totally valid. I do think that's fair. Also, one last thing. I know we're going to get to the Ravens game in a little bit, but one last thing on Huntley. I think there is a very good chance, Andy, that Huntley is not a Baltimore Raven in the not too distant future. Just because, like, how many? Like, do you really want to be seeing the Mike Glennons and the Nick Mullins of the world get backup jobs and like starts over people like Tyler Huntley? Like, probably not. Like, I know drafting is an inexact science, but this guy went undrafted after being like one of the best players. And again, I know the Pac-12 is what it is, but I mean, like, he went undrafted, didn't really get a shot, and now he is like opening people's eyes. I just would rather see Tyler Huntley getting starting gig next year than having to watch some of these quarterbacks across the NFL.
You mean Sean Mannion and his 5-year career with zero touchdowns? Yeah, I'd rather, for entertainment value, yes, I would rather see the much more athletic and talented Tyler Huntley run around.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
Let's take the break. We'll come back. We're going to answer some of your questions on the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location, please, as well as on Twitter, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. We'll then continue to roll through the fantasy football start sits for every remaining game on this championship fantasy weekend slate. You're listening to The Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour two of The Fantasy Show kicks off right now, Canada-wide, across the Sportsnet Radio Network. It is Fantasy Football Championship Weekend, people. You ready? Ready to get that ring? Andy McNamara alongside Shaw Ali. Hit us up on Twitter with your questions at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. And of course, if you're not in your championship weekend, that's okay. There's DFS contest to play. There's questions you can get in there. There's to win some cash that way and still make the fantasy football experience fun and not give up on it just because you're not in your championship. Show, it is also time to hit up not just the Twitter, but the text line, the people's text line.
And now, your fantasy questions on the people's text line.
All right, Andy, let's do it. 590-590, name and location, please, so we can, of course, give you a shout-out on the air. And don't forget, if we do not get, we say this every week, Andy, but if we do not get to your question on the air, we will text you back before kickoff goes in a couple of hours, okay? So you will hear from us on this championship weekend about all your favorite start-sit questions before kickoff goes at 1 p.m. Eastern. So you will hear from us. Do not worry. But right now, again, 590-590, leave your name and location. Here's some texts I've seen. Mike in Scarborough, this one is an interesting one, Andy. Half PPR league, all right? And he has a very interesting conundrum. He needs to bench one of the following: Sony Michel, David Montgomery, Alvin Kamara, or Najee Harris. That's a good problem to have, absolutely, but it's true. If you have those four guys based on their usage and their touches and so on, I wonder who you would bench between Michelle, Montgomery, Kamara, and Najee Harris.
Boy, you know, at first glance, I kind of think, like, does Kamara make sense after last week? And then it's too much talent. We cannot sit that talent, even with Taysom Hill in there. So then we look at maybe Sony Michel. I don't want to bench Najee Harris, just because he is one of those rare in this league, so true RB1. You know, no matter how the day goes, if the Steelers are running the football, it's going to go through Najee Harris.
Exactly.
That's it. End of story. That's it. So I can't bench him. I think it's got to be Sony Michel. I'm going to go with Sony.
That's crazy, right? Because Darrell Henderson's on the IR, right? And they did say that Cam Akers is active. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should rephrase. He has been activated, but will he be active? Will he play a significant amount? I say probably not, right? So that's a tough one.
I wouldn't think so. And we should also say as well, the news coming out that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not traveling with the Kansas City Chiefs. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire ruled out for the Chiefs game, and they have added running back Jerick McKinnon to the 53-man roster, have the Kansas City Chiefs. So just an update on that. But yeah, let's get to the next one, Joe.
All right, let's do another one here again. 590, 590, name and location. Peter in downtown Toronto, half PPR. He needs to bench one of Devonta Smith, Gabriel Davis, or Alan Lazard.
I'm leaning towards benching Gabriel Davis because Beasley is back. He's back right. from COVID, I believe, right?
Yes. But Emmanuel Sanders is not... I mean, again, that might be a game-time decision, but if Sanders doesn't play, does that change your mind on if you should start Gabriel Davis or not?
You still have Dawson Knox in there. We've seen Beasley be a real target hog when in there at times. I would still probably fade on Davis. Like, he could certainly have himself a day. I like what I've seen. But I just think with how that offense has been running and is laid out, Davis would be the guy I would park.
Yeah, they all, to be fair, have very good matchups, right? The Eagles are taking on Washington. Davis is taking on the Falcons and Lazard, and the Packers are taking on the Vikings. So, I mean, they're all very good matchups, I'd say, Peter. But at the same time, yeah, I'd probably go with Davis as well. It's a little unpredictable. McKenzie flashing a little bit, too. Does that change the equation somewhat? Maybe a little bit, right? So... I would probably agree with you there, Andy. All right, let's get on another one here. Lucas in downtown Toronto. He has a defense question for us. Patriots defense, and Patriots are playing the Jaguars, as we talked about, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense against the Jets. So who are you going with, Andy? Patriots or Bucks this weekend?
Ooh, I'm going to say Buccaneers. I think just overall. Now, again, I think you're going to be okay regardless. But I like the Buccaneers matchup much better, just as a big picture view.
Maybe I'm being a homer here, Andy. I'm going to go with the Patriots, just because this game is at home and the Jaguars are traveling without what, like 20 to 25 of their stuff. Like, if this was a normal game, I would say sure. But much like we have seen other teams play when they are depleted because of COVID, I think I might go with team that is playing the COVID depleted team, which in this case is the New England Patriots. We have another one here. No name on this one, but half PPR. Kendrick Bourne or Chase Claypool. I think how the mighty have fallen when it comes to Chase Claypool, Andy. Oh. We all thought especially after Juju Smith-Schuster went down, that maybe Claypool would inhabit more of the target share for this Pittsburgh Steelers offense. But boy, he has been essentially non-existent, while Kendrick Bourne has flashed here and there. So yeah, half PPR, Bourne or Claypool.
Claypool, so immature. A Canadian disappointment, I call him, show. Not like our Joshua Palmer with the Chargers, yeah. who's a class act. Class act, Josh Palmer. Claypool, he's celebrating after touches. This guy needs to mature real quick. All the talent in the world. He's TikToking last year. He's whining. He's complaining. He's making up excuses. That guy could find his way out of Pittsburgh sooner than later if he keeps that up. Say it again.
And into Cleveland.
He ain't coming. He's not coming to Cleveland. Heck, I don't want him. No, get out of here. I'll take Josh Palmer over Claypool's immaturity. With that being said, however, can I count on Bourne? I can't either, show, but you know what? I like the matchup better. I'm going to go with Bourne.
Really? All right.
I'm going to go with Bourne. Like the matchups, both guys, like, let's be honest, both guys will probably get you like 6 fantasy points. Let's put that out there, right? There's a very real situation where both of those guys get you 5 to 7 fantasy points. I'll just say, you know what? Against Jacksonville, like you said, that depleted team, maybe Bourne catches a few. He's getting 3-4 targets a game on average. Yeah, maybe.
Well, also, I think it's also important to remember that Nelson Agholor will remain out with a concussion.
Yes.
So I think that, like, it does narrow the field for passes for Mac Jones. And, I mean, hey, that it very well may just mean they run the ball more. It very well mean they just throw the ball to Hunter Henry more. But I think I would probably take Bourne as well. Oh, my God, it's Kendrick Bourne, right? Woo! I think I might go with Kendrick Bourne on this one. All right, let's move on. Jeff in North York. Full PPR. It's a full PPR league. Deontay Foreman or Jarrett Patterson? Fill in for Antonio Gibson.
Oh, boy. You know what? Like we said earlier, that Washington game show, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't. Deontay Foreman. Now, again, on a Titans team that is the offense inconsistent, A.J. Brown's back. When A.J. Brown came back last week, Deontay Foreman's touches significantly decreased from 19, 13, and 22 handoffs to 9. He did get a touchdown, however. So regardless, I would still go with Foreman because I know he has a defined role in that offense right now. You know he is getting the football if they're running it on first or second down. We don't know what to expect out of Jarrett Patterson. There's also Jonathan Williams in there. Heinicke could run it himself. That Washington team is way too messy for me. I'll go with Foreman.
Yeah, you know what? I'll probably go with Foreman as well. I think, ultimately speaking, it may be a wash just because of the opponent, right? I mean, like, the Eagles, their defensive play has been better as of late, right? I mean, I think they're certainly gettable. They're not, like, the most stout defense. But I think the Eagles' play will be a popular one on championship weekend. And then you look at Miami as well. I mean, Miami's defense has been great all year, as we've been talking about. So, it's kind of a toss-up for me, but I think I might go with Foreman as well. Dimitro and Etobicoke, we'll get to another one here. 590-590, leave your name and location for all your start-sit questions here on the Fantasy Show. Dimitro and Etobicoke, half PPR. This is an interesting one. Brandon Cooks in his return from the COVID list, or Michael Pittman Jr.? And this one is interesting, too, because Wentz is, last I checked, he was out because of COVID. So,
he's out.
I mean, I guess this could change, I suppose. But, you know, we all know both these guys are very, very talented. But do you go Brandon Cooks with the way Davis Mills has been playing, or do you want to start Pittman Jr. no matter what?
Well, so the thing is, Wentz is not vaccinated, so he's done. He's not in.
He's for sure out. Okay.
He is for sure out. That means you get Sam Ehlinger in there. Hey, Cowboy Sam, I remember watching him through the combine process and the studying afterwards. I wasn't super impressed before the draft show. I'm less impressed now. What I think that means for the Colts, offense is Jonathan Taylor, and then Jonathan Taylor all day. You have to significantly downgrade all those receivers. We don't know how Sam Ehlinger is going to look in an NFL game. We have no idea. That's a dangerous ball game to be playing, to count on a receiver that guy's going to have to throw to in a championship game. So you might be left without a choice if there's nobody else. But show honestly, like, I would rather be looking at maybe lesser teams with receivers who are at least in a rhythm and you know the pattern. With the Colts, you're just guessing. So I don't want Pittman. I would go Cooks.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Cooks as well, just because, boy, I mean, I've liked Cooks all year, and I know he has dealt with the quarterback change a couple of times, and Davis Mills. First of all, Davis Mills has played very well as a rookie, like sneakily maybe as good as Mac Jones has played, considering how much worse the Texans are, right?
As an organization.
Yeah, like it's very impressive, I gotta say, and I mean, we saw what they did to the Chargers last week, and The 49ers, too, are, like, they're gettable through the air. I mean, they lost a couple of corners early on in the season. And, I mean, they're still playing very well. But at the same time, yeah, I think I would probably still take Brandon Cooks, who, volume-wise, probably immediately becomes Davis Mills' favorite and most talented weapon on that offense. Let's get a couple more in. You want to do a couple more?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's do two more. Brent in Brampton, half PPR, Kenny Golladay or Braxton Berrios, Andy?
Oh, baby. Now, on the surface, show, if you were asking us this question back in the preseason, it's like,
oh, man.
Are you crazy? Of course, Golladay, Berrios, get out of here. No, you got to go with Braxton Berrios. Look, this Giants team, it's over. It's done. There's no quarterback. The receivers are I don't want to say they're terrible. The quarterback situation has been terrible. You can't count on them at all. At least with Braxton Berrios, what you're seeing is sizable target share, right? Because of all the injuries. Crowder's doubtful again. Let's bring this up again. You're getting Jake Fromm. Okay? Two M's, people. Fromm. Fromm. Not Mike Lennon. Because Mike Lennon was so bad, they went with Jake Fromm. You're going to trust in your championship weekend Jake Fromm throwing to Kenny Golladay? No. Braxton Berrios all the way. And if that turns out to be some fluke, I will gladly die on that hill, show of taking this pick every single time, even if I know the result.
Yeah, Yeah, I think so too. I mean, they already ruled out so many of the wide receivers. Kenny Golladay is essentially the only healthy guy. So
Tony's out, Slayton's out, yeah. Ross is out, all right. of them. No,
it's,
no.
It's miserable. What a miserable. I genuinely feel bad for Giants fans because it has. There, I don't think there has been one bright spot this entire season. Like it has been. Miserable year in New York, and the Jets aren't, you know, that far behind, let's be real. And let's wrap up with this one. Justin, he had tweeted this one to me yesterday. He has said, I mean, this kind of was the basis for why I brought up the Tyler Huntley thing at the end of the last hour, but Mac Jones or Tyler Huntley, we kind of already answered we'd probably take the chance on Huntley if it's confirmed yeah. that Lamar Jackson is for sure in there. It's not a bad question considering that the Jags are so depleted, but I just think the even against the Rams, a much tougher matchup, I really do think Tyler Huntley has a good chance to get QB1 numbers back for you on championship weekend.
He has a much better chance to do that because he's the top running back as well. Whereas Mac Jones, all you got to do is get up by a couple scores and you can turn around and hand it off to Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson all day.
Yep.
Right? That, you can do that all day. And like I said before, even on very successful games and days for the Patriots, it takes a lot for Mac Jones to be able to get you into the 20s, 19 to 20s for fantasy points. Now, Tyler Huntley runs the risk naturally, like a Taysom Hill, where if, or, although I still think, I think he's a better passer than Taysom Hill. I think you're a better passer than Taysom Hill, show. And Tyler Huntley at least has the super athletic upside. And no matter how the real game plays out, that guy, if he runs it, you know, 10 times, 15 times, 20 times, and get you, and is averaging 10 to 15 yards a game or a run, that's a great fantasy day for you. So I think you got to go Huntley.
Yeah, I'm going, it pains me to say it, but I'm going to go Huntley as well. Although I don't think, if your choice was Mac Jones or Tim Boyle, or your choice was Mac Jones or Sean Mannion or Mac Jones or a lot of other guys, I would take Mac Jones. It's just with, like you said, the Huntley upside is pretty high. But yeah, that does it for the People's Text Line here on Championship Weekend. Again, 590-590, name and location. You can get us on Twitter at SNS Alley with two L's for me, at AndyMC81, at The Fantasy Show on Twitter. We'll tweet out the link to the show once it's all done. You can reply to us if you want before kickoff goes at 1 p.m. Eastern. But yeah, send us your questions, 590-590, and we will get to all of the ones we did not answer on the air before kickoff goes in a couple of hours, Andy.
Absolutely. So let's get back to our start sits for the remaining slate for Fantasy Championship Weekend, and we kick back off with the Raiders versus the Colts. Now, we talked a bit about the Colts already. Sam Ehlinger in there. You want to trust that dude? Throwing the ball to Michael Pittman? Like, he might. He very well could. Show, I keep bringing myself back to, we live in a world, a society, where Mike White threw for 400 yards for the New York Jets this year.
It's true.
Okay, that happened.
That happened.
Like it or not, that happened. So, Sam Ehlinger could do it. Show, you could reach in your pocket right now and find $20. Why don't you do that? Is there 20 in there? Did you find anything?
No.
Okay, so it probably won't happen, but it could happen. But I don't want to risk that. I think the only safe play on the Colts is Jonathan Taylor, and they are going to run that ball all freaking day long.
Yeah, I get. You know what? I wouldn't mind flexing a Nyheim Hines this week either, just because, like, it's again, they have to spell Jonathan Taylor at some point, and right. I mean, he's going to be the guy. But generally speaking, yeah, I like Jonathan Taylor. I guess if you had to, you could start Michael Pittman like as your final wide receiver as your flex if you really, because I mean, he is dynamically talented, right? Just he is so good. But I just, do you want to trust? Because, you know, whenever backup quarterbacks come in, the strategy is simply get the ball to your best player. And in this particular case, that best player is Jonathan Taylor, right? So I think that's probably going to be the fallback here for the Colts offense. On the Raiders side, it might be the usual suspects, right? I mean, no Darren Waller. So it's pretty much going to be passes funneled to Hunter Renfrow. Josh Jacobs is going to get 98% of the carries. And I don't know, maybe Derek Carr is the biggest question mark here, but I would probably pass on Derek Carr.
Yeah, I think Derek Carr falls into the high QB2 category. Josh Jacobs, you go with Hunter Renfrow, and that's it. Everybody else is real touchdown dependent. I like Bryan Edwards overall. I still think he has a lot of upside, and he did have a touchdown a couple weeks ago, but it just hasn't been there consistently, so I don't like the Foster Moreau play show. I think we've seen enough.
I think so too.
I know it was since Waller's been out, do you get and we got a lot of questions. Do I get Foster Moreau? And I just don't think you do, because he's not catching for a lot of yards at all. So even in PPR, he just got 10 fantasy points 2 weeks ago, like on the nose 10. And that was with 7 catches.
Yeah.
So he's not a playmaker. He's a catch and fall down type of guy. He's a good blocker. He's a good, you know, real tight, useful tight end. But no, I don't think we go with Moreau there. So.
I think I'm also going to pass on Zay Jones as well. I know he has stepped up a little bit. I'm not disparaging the guy, former Buffalo Bill, I think. But yeah. Zay Jones, yeah. I mean, like, if you want to flex him on championship weekend, that's on you. But I'm not going to recommend that, you know, with any degree of regularity.
No. Yeah, I like that. That's on you. That's your problem.
Yeah.
you can decide that. No, I don't think we go that route. This could be a fun one, folks. Chiefs versus Bengals. Very interesting matches. We said off the top, Clyde Edwards-Helaire not traveling with the team. He will not play, and that means Jerick McKinnon is brought up from the practice squad for Kansas City, or signed him, wherever the heck they got him on. He's on the roster now. So he's there. Now, does that mean we load up Darrell Williams? You know, there's still Derek Gore going. I would feel, if we look at Williams' show, I think he's done enough to warrant RB2 consideration. I think you can put him in there. I wouldn't want him as my main guy, but I think you can put him in there.
Darrell Williams, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I mean, they are 8th ranked, I think, in giving up points to the running backs. So, I mean, you know, maybe you see some more action through the air for Williams. But yeah, I think like a mid-tier RB2, maybe mid to low-tier RB2, I wouldn't mind putting him in there. But I mean, apart from that, I mean, the conversations around the Chiefs this year are very short, right? Because you're still starting Mahomes, you're still starting Hill, and Kelce is back, and that's going to for sure help everyone, right? Including you, right? Yeah. So you're definitely starting those three guys, and again, a short conversation. You're not. I know Byron Pringle and the rest of these guys did flash last week, but if Kelce is back, I don't think you want anything to do with any of those other guys. And on the Bengals side of things, is it Burrow, Mixon, Chase, Higgins, as we kind of always have been talking about?
I think so, but also there's a world where I think Tyler Boyd could be a flex option here, Show. Mm-hmm. I really do. Like, he's been, you know, it's riskier than the other ones, that's for sure. But let's look at him. The last 2 weeks, he's got 8 catches on 11 targets, 18 and 16 fantasy points, and has a touchdown in each of those weeks. Now, he has 4 total for the season, so half of his touchdowns have come in the last 2 weeks. So the question is why? And maybe other people are being covered more. Maybe he's whatever. Maybe he's healthier. Whatever the situation is, he's getting the football to him. So I think against Kansas City, whose defense has been vastly improved over the whole year, just as a whole, I don't think you can count them him necessarily out. So I agree with the order that you say, but I also think that if you are looking for an extra piece, Tyler Boyd as a flex is not the worst option.
Yeah, you know what? That's fair. I did actually pick up Tyler Boyd. Someone dropped him because of, like, they had a whole bunch of COVID problems, and they had to pick up an extra running back. So I ended up picking him up in one of my other leagues. I think I might flex him. Honestly, I think I might flex him this week. But I think maybe the one guy, as we say every week, to avoid is CJ Uzomah. I don't want any part of that.
No. Would you flex Tyler Boyd or Michael Carter? Ooh. Asking for a Randy from Clarington.
Randy. I think I would probably go Tyler Boyd, honestly.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. All right. I'll communicate that with Randy, and we'll see what he does. All right, let's go to the next one here. Giants versus Bears. People, we just told you, Jake Fromm, 2 M's. Fromm, no. We want 8 N's on no to Jake Fromm and the Giants. All the wide receivers are out. Show. Yeah. Like, what are we doing? Is it? I guess it's Saquon Barkley.
Like, I think maybe. Bench Saquon, you know.
It depends what other option you have. What I'm saying is, if you need a running back, and you'd think again with a quarterback who's new, yet Saquon Barkley and Devontae Booker should be his best friend. So I think he could get some work. I would rather not, but I still think Saquon can be started.
I'll put it this way. I think Saquon for sure can be started, especially against the Bears defense. That's just so-so. But there is a chance. I think I had read that Barkley has had like an ankle issue. He's looked pretty sluggish since he's returned from injury. Maybe in a lost season, there's a chance, however slim, that Barkley doesn't play. So just maybe monitor that, because if you have Devontae Booker, who is completely healthy and who frankly has looked like a better running back this year, just generally speaking, if Barkley somehow doesn't play, I would start Devontae Booker. I would. But I just don't know how likely that is. Just keep that in the back of your minds.
Yeah. If there's a split or timeshare, then we avoid all of that.
Yeah.
For the Bears, Andy Dalton will play. Justin Fields out with the ankle. So, you know, what does that mean for this Bears team where they know Matt Nagy is getting fired? David Montgomery, I think you play for sure. And yeah. I don't know, like Darnell Mooney's been, it looked like he was really going for a while, and then he's been inconsistent, show. Like, you know. I don't like it. He hasn't gotten me double-digit fantasy points since week 12.
Well, here,
he had five catches last week.
I'll say this. Because we know Dalton is playing, I think I would start Darnell Mooney. I think that helps Darnell Mooney more than it helps any other player on this offense. Like you said, I think you're starting David Montgomery no matter what. But Darnell Mooney, like you said, he has been disappointing as of late, but I think all of his 100 plus yard performances have come with Andy Dalton at with the keys, right? So knowing that, I would fire up Darnell Mooney this weekend.
Cole Kmet, like, fringe TE1. Not his fault. You know Jimmy Graham's getting a touchdown.
Jeez.
He's going to get one catch.
I hate it. I hate that.
He literally, okay? No exaggeration. He has gotten no more than two catches all year. In a single game. And he's gotten, since November 25th, he has three touchdowns.
Yeah. Like, come on. Come on, Jimmy. Come on, man. What are we doing here?
Get out of here, Jimmy. Done. It's over, Jimmy. Stop it. God. It's wild. So, yeah. That's about it for Giants Bears. We'll step aside, come back, finish off the rest of the games, give our Danger Zone picks, get you ready for Fantasy Football Championship weekend here on the Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
The Fantasy Show rolls on right now, Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Show Ali. Getting you ready, folks. Kickoff is coming up. Fantasy Football Championship weekend. Maybe you're going for a ring. Maybe you're playing in that consolation bracket, playing for pride. Finish strong. Or, heck, maybe you're doing DFS contests. You're playing some DraftKings, having some fun there. And either way, we're going to take you through our fantasy football start sits for each and every one of the remaining games. If you miss any of the show, it's all podcast. We'll put it all up on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show, and on Sportsnet.ca as well. Let's get to it, show. Falcons versus Bills. Now, we've talked a little bit indirectly throughout about both of these teams throughout the show already. For the Falcons, I love Cordarrelle Patterson. I think he's been a fantasy winner as far as, like, he could be a league winner all year from where you got him. I'm going to keep going with him. But after seeing, you know, Russell Gage kind of get shut down with the Bills defense, honestly, I'm probably just looking at Cordarrelle Patterson, and I love the talent. We talked about how much we love the talent of Kyle Pitts, but if you're the Bills, that's really where you're focusing right away, right? You're trying to take away Pitts and then having them beat you elsewhere.
Yeah, I think, look, I'll say this. I do like Patterson. I do like Gage, and I like Kyle Pitts, and I think they can all be started. But, I mean, you can't expect very high production from any of them, right? I think that's the real problem here. The Bills, I think, are on a mission. I agree that Patterson is probably the most attractive play, but, I mean, it's still a flex play for me at best, just because they seem to have gone away from his inclusion in the passing game. If that changes against Buffalo, then hey, you're laughing. But yeah, I just think that's important to remember. But still, they're all startable. I would avoid Matt Ryan if at all possible this week. But when you look at the Bills side of things, Josh Allen, you're starting him. Stephon Diggs, you're starting him, and Dawson Knox, you're starting him. The questions for me, really, and I asked you this question on the People's Text Line previously, but Gabriel Davis, and I guess to a lesser degree, Devin Singletary, I think they can, again, both be started, but neither of them would be more than, like, lower-end flex plays, I think.
Yeah, like, Singletary, you know, he's got consecutive weeks with touchdown show. Does that continue? There's always the risk if you're at the goal line that Josh Allen is going to run it in himself. So compare that to, let's say, Najee Harris, where you know if they're running the ball, it's going to go to him. We don't know that with Buffalo. But I have been, I'll give him credit, I have been impressed with from where he started, which was quite low, being useful, to where he is. So I'm with you. I think Singletary could be a flex. That's sort of where I'm at with Falcons versus Bills. Let's go on to Texans versus 49ers. And the Niners show, no Jimmy G. Got a busted up thumb. Trey Lance is in. Real life-wise, how that's going to result, I'm not sure how that's going to look. The last time we saw him in a ball game throwing the ball, Trey Lance, didn't look great, but the dude has a cannon of an arm, and more importantly, for fantasy purposes show, he is mobile, and he can take off and go. So I think Trey Lance is a great start.
Yeah, his last start, if you're curious, came back in Week 5. He had 192 passing yards, no passing touchdowns, and an interception, but the reason he salvaged the day was because he had 16 rushing attempts for 89 yards. And I assume he'll have to do kind of the same kind of performance against a Texans defense that is much better through the air than they are on the ground. They're one of the worst defenses in fantasy football versus guys who run the ball. So the interesting thing is, we'll have to monitor this. Do monitor, because as of Friday, when they kind of track the practices right up until the end of the day on Friday, Eli Mitchell had been getting more work in. And we know when Eli Mitchell starts, he is a true workhorse, right? Like, he gets the ball a lot. And he had a concussion a couple of weeks ago, but last week what kept him out was the knee issue. They love to run the ball in San Francisco, so if Eli Mitchell starts, I think you start him. If Jeff Wilson Jr. starts, I think you start him. Whoever the starter is, I think you can get away with starting, even if Trey Lance is the quarterback. But apart from that, like, you're not, you know, one of those two guys is starting. You don't want no part of, like, Kyle Juszczyk or Jermichael Hasty. No. Where are you at on Brandon Ayuk, Andy?
Well, for Deebo Samuel as well, show he's seen a lot of work out of that backfield too.
Yeah.
Right? Very versatile. So we're seeing him slide around the whole offense. So I like him. George Kittle, you know, last week he had only 3 targets, 2 catches, but you're going to play George Kittle. That's another one of those cases that we talked about. You play George Kittle. If he has a dud game, oh well. That's just how it goes. But you want to have Kittle in your lineup because of the talent. So when you talk about Ayuk with Trey Lance coming in, that always becomes, again, a little tricky, because how much is he actually going to throw the ball? Is he going to run it? If he does throw it, is he going to pick Samuel, Kittle, Ayuk? Are we going really down the chain? Where does Ayuk pop in? I would not play Brandon Ayuk this week.
You might not have a choice but to play Ayuk, but if you can afford to, if you have like a nice decision to make and you're on the fence about Ayuk, I wouldn't mind keeping him on the bench.
Right. And then for the Texans, like we said before, Brandon Cooks, I still don't like Davis Mills as far as like what could be with potential turnovers and all that. Like, I guess, like, again, show if you're really stuck and you have to choose between Jake Fromm, Ellinger, you know, one of those fringe backup guys, yeah, you can go Davis Mills. And again, I would not get cute with Rex Burkhead. Yeah. No, he had 2 touchdowns. People, we've played this game before, okay? We know that he's going to get like 4 touches this week and get you nothing.
The thing with Burkhead, too, is just that even if he does get the lion's share of the carries, which he probably will, I mean, you know, is he going to have 150 yards and 2 touchdowns again? Probably not, right? So I just, no. Do you want to be playing that whack-a-mole kind of game in championship weekend? No, right? Just be thankful he got you there if you played him, and move on.
Move on. Yeah, thanks for coming out, pal. You're done. Get on out. Holidays are over. Time to hit the bricks. Get out. Let's go to Broncos Chargers. Talked about this game a lot earlier. Jerry Jeudy out, Tim Patrick out. Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams both dealing with knee issues. Both will probably play. The quarterback situation sucks. I don't believe in Noah Fant, and he's never gotten me excited from a fantasy perspective at all. So I'm just thinking, show, like, I know people will probably have to play one of Melvin Gordon or Javonte Williams just based on how the running back situation is, try not to. I would probably look towards Williams as the better play. But again, I don't recommend really any Bronco this week.
Yeah, they have both overall on the year have been low-end RB2s, and they've flashed here and there based on, you know, breaking a big run here and there. But I just, you know, they've kind of been mid to low tier RB2s all year, and I expect against the Chargers, they'll be mid to low tier RB2s again. And I want no part of any of the pass catchers, despite the fact that, you know, many of them are out. I don't think that really makes anyone who's in more valuable at this point. Yeah, I'd stay away from Noah Fant too, just, like, especially on championship weekend, right? Like, if you could afford it elsewhere, or maybe if you're looking to fill out a cheap end of your DraftKings play, maybe. But that's all. That's kind of where I'm at on the Broncos this week. On the Chargers, I think you're still starting all of the usual guys, right? Like Herbert, Eckler, and Allen, you're starting all of them. Yeah. Cook is out, so maybe you can start like a Guyton or a Palmer, but I don't know. I'm not going to. Again, do you want to be playing that game in championship weekend? Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
All right, let's go Rams versus Ravens. Lamar Jackson looks like it will be a game-time decision. Reports he's been limping all week. I don't know why you would play him. Again, when Huntley's been in there, very limited time, 1.5 games, really, he's done things better than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, like Lamar Jackson at his when he was at his peak. Again, very small sample size. Rams defense is good to real good. But I don't know why you would go with a hobbled Lamar Jackson in kind of a must-win situation or close to it for the Ravens to try to stay in that division race. So yeah, like if it's the Ravens just based on the legs, I like Huntley as the play. Mark Andrews, when Huntley's been in there, just gets like
a monster.
He only has eyes for Andrews. It's one read or he runs. It's just Andrews.
Hey, you know what? If you're a Mark Andrews owner, you love that, right? You love it.
Sure
his,
do.
Like his first 8 reads in a game will be to Mark Andrews, which is just phenomenal. Marquise Brown has been, unfortunately, the rise of Mark Andrews, right? So you can still start him, but I think he is at best a WR3. And Devontae Freeman, as serviceable as he has been because of all the kind of flux at quarterback, only 6 carries per game over the last 2 games, right? At least he did score a touchdown, but I don't know. Like the addition of Huntley has made things a little worse, and certainly Josh Johnson didn't help matters last week. So I think, generally speaking, I think it's either Lamar Jackson / Huntley or Mark Andrews, and I would probably pass on everyone else.
I'm with you. And then when we look at the LA Rams, this is a confusing team show. The last 2 weeks, it looked like out of their little blip that the Rams figured it out when it came to offense, because they lost 3 in a row and then they sort of got back on track a bit, but they've won their last 2 games. But fantasy wise, Matt Stafford has been awful. You know, 3 interceptions last week, they won the game. And then you look at the week before and they only scored 20 points. I think he had 16 fantasy points. So what are we to expect? You correctly pointed out earlier, the Ravens defense and especially secondary is non-existent. But I just don't know how much I want to trust Matthew Stafford.
You know what? I think despite the just awful performance, easily his worst performance as a Los Angeles Ram by far, I think he is still the QB7 on the year. I think you have to start him. I just think I said it before, you dance with the people that brought you, Andy. You have to start Matthew Stafford. Like, unless your other guy is like a Jalen Hurts or a, I don't know.
Taysom Hill?
Yeah, no, not Taysom Hill, no.
I also have Tyler Huntley. Hey, by the way, I also have Tyler Huntley. I picked up both guys last week and both got COVID. That was I had 3 quarterbacks. So maybe I go Huntley then if he plays.
I think you go Stafford, man. Stafford, it. Okay. Stay with Stafford. Boy. Maddie, stay with him. Boy. He is the guy. He is going to throw. Right. They're going to have. They need to win too. The Rams need to keep on winning in that division, right? So
You're
like Stafford.
You're right.
I mean, look, you're starting Cooper Kupp. What a monster he has been, right? Like, just phenomenal. He should be getting MVP votes, frankly. He just so, so good.
For real.
But apart from that, I think Odell and Van Jefferson are guys you can start as well, just because how bad the Ravens secondary is. I would probably give Van Jefferson the slight uptick. But hey, I mean, Matthew Stafford and OBJ have been getting some more chemistry as of late, Andy. I don't hate it there.
You know, I'm with you. I'd still agree with Van Jefferson. And the last two games, again, are strange because the volume has gone down. The offense has gotten kind of wonky. Tyler Higbee is so strange. That guy's on the field all the time, Sean. All the time.
Yeah, it's weird.
And he still gets you like 6 fantasy points. I don't think you can play him. Like, it's always the chance if you're on the field. There's always a chance you could catch the ball, I guess. But it just doesn't seem to work. So I would fade on him. I think Sony Michel... with Cam Akers maybe dipping his toe back in, I think you got to go with Sony Michel there.
Yeah, he's a low end RB1 for me just because.
Yeah.
Like, I think that offense is always going to throw the ball a lot, but still, I think with Sony Michel, I mean, the guy had a season high 27 carries after Henderson went down last week, 131 yards and a touchdown. And I will say this: the Baltimore rush defense, pretty good. Like, that's probably the best part of their team. So we might see things funneled more towards the pass this week, especially with Cooper Kupp on tap. So, you know, I lower end RB1, maybe high end RB2 for Sony Michel. But I mean, if your choice is between Sony Michel and like Boston Scott, or Sony Michel and like a banged up player, or like Dare Ogunbowale, I think you're going with Sony Michel.
I think you're right. Let's move on. Lions versus Seahawks. And don't look now, Sean. The Lions actually, for fantasy purposes, have a couple options. You know, you got Jared Goff back, who we know can be a good fantasy distributor of the football. Not somebody you want to play yourself, but somebody who's there. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think that dude just gets targets no matter who's that quarterback. I think you jump him right in there. DeAndre Swift, no injury designation. I think the play is Swift. It's St. Brown, and then you move on with your day.
I think you just got to remember that I believe last I checked that Goff is doubtful. I don't think he's been ruled out, but he is doubtful. I think so. If that's the case, it'd be our old pal Tim Boyle suiting up at quarterback. But you know what? I think, like, Boyle, I think...
He's still getting St. Brown the ball.
Yeah, he's still getting him the ball, so I think you're right. The sun god, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the sun god, Andy, the Egyptian sun god. I think more sun for the sun god. He has been just amazing this season in the last, like, what, month and maybe less than a month of play. So, yeah, I think you get him in your lineup because he has been phenomenal, and I look forward to seeing how many people keep him in, like, keeper leagues and so on who got him for free off the waiver wire, right? Yeah. So he has been just great. But, yeah, Swift, Brown. On the Seahawks side of things, not a lot of guys that I'm super excited about. It's really just, like, Lockett and Metcalf. Gerald Everett actually has popped a little bit. Maybe you get him in there as well, but I just think overall expectations, even against the Lions, for the Seahawks have been just greatly decreased.
I got to say, tip of the cap to Gerald Everett, because I got him because Travis Kelce had COVID. Everett was the best situation. I looked at it last week. I'm like, okay, well, he had a touchdown in one of his last two games before last week's game. So 9.8 points, 8 points. Like, well, you know what? Compared to the other options, if I got 9 points, okay. Guy got me a touchdown and 14.8 fantasy points. You know, on 5 targets. That's as good as for waiver wire fodder. A guy who's available in 50% of Yahoo leagues right now, folks. If you need a tight end, that's as good as you're going to get.
Yeah.
If you can tell me you're going to get a guy off who will get you, you know, 9 to 14 plus fantasy points, I'm taking that. That's better than most.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just checking his ownership. Yeah, he last night, when I wrote in my article on Thursday for the Start Sit article for Sportsnet.ca, he was at like, I think he was at like 40-something percent. I think it's jumped in Yahoo leagues to about 50%. So he's still available in a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
So, I think you could do a lot worse than Gerald Everett. But yeah, I think it's Lockett, it's Metcalf. Rashad Penny, I think, is worth a start given the just abysmal Lions rush defense. But, I mean, Russell Wilson himself, I think I'd pass on.
Yeah, I think Dangerous needs to cook somewhere else next year.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Cardinals versus Cowboys. Now, we look at this one, start of the year show. This one should be a shootout. Should be a lot of fun. I'm not quite sure what to expect offensively from these teams. Kyler Murray, although not technically injured, looks just, I don't know, beat up, just kind of battered. James Conner is questionable. Chase Edmonds in there. You got AJ Green, Christian Kirk. Zach Ertz has been pretty good. For me, I think, again, if you got Kyler Murray, I think you got to go with him. I think you just got to go with him. Zach Ertz in at tight end, mid to lower, like three quarter tight end one, with DeAndre Hopkins being out for the year. And I still like Christian Kirk. I'll ride and die with that guy to the end of this season. I like Christian Kirk.
I definitely like Christian Kirk more in PPR leagues. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's fair. Yeah. I think that's a good spot. And yeah, then like with Kyler Murray show, like, I don't know, like, could you convince me instead of against Dallas to maybe go like a Tyler Huntley? I don't want to get cute like that. I don't. I think even though he popped back last week a bit, got over the 21 fantasy point mark, the 2 weeks before he was in the teens. So it's a little dicey because he is so banged up just overall this season.
Well, I'll put it this way, Andy. Kyler Murray has scored less than 15 points in just 2 of 11 starts. Look, in games he has been healthy, 11 healthy starts. He has scored less than 15 points just twice. So if you're looking for a good floor, I think the floor seems to be for Kyler 15 points because of the rushing and so on. So I think that's pretty good. If you feel you can do better, hey, by all means, do it. But I like Kyler this week personally, even against a ferocious Dallas defense. You have to monitor Chase Edmonds, and James Conner just because of the health there. If Conner doesn't play, it bumps Chase Edmonds up, especially in half or full PPR leagues. Sure. But I mean, if Conner plays, I think you have to start him given that he has a million touchdowns this year. On the Cowboys side of things, Dak Prescott, Zeke, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Dalton Schultz. I mean, all guys you could start this week, Andy.
Yeah. Yep, got to go with the usual suspects there. All right, let's do Vikings versus Packers. And we found out, of course, Kirk Cousins, he gone. He's not there, show. He's got COVID. As he said earlier in the year, he will die on the football field. He will die if it comes. He was very dramatic about it. He's like, I will. It's like, all right, settle down, Kirk. Take it easy. But in any case, he's got COVID. It's Sean Mannion, who has thrown 0 career touchdowns and 3 interceptions since being in the league for 5 years and about 13 appearances. That just destroys everybody, show. If you have Justin Jefferson, you're going to play Justin Jefferson because there's no way you got a better option. You might as well risk it. No tight ends. Dalvin Cook, probably a huge day for him. They're going to try to get him the ball as much as possible.
I think the person it hurts the most, the lack of Kirk Cousins, is KJ Osborne, because they're going to get the Justin Jefferson the ball. But, I mean, KJ Osborne is not exactly, he doesn't have the same cachet, let's say, as Jefferson does. So I think it does hurt him the most because Adam Thielen is done for the year. He's on injured reserve. He had surgery on his ankle, so he's donezo. But yeah, I think the best plays are Jefferson and Cook, as they usually are. But the other guys, you know, Conklin, Osborne, you want to pass on the Packers side. I mean, Rodgers, Jones, Adams, sure, absolutely, like, you would start them most week. You're not benching those guys. I think, again, I wonder if the Sean Mannion play means that the Packers get up early and then they just run the ball. If they do, that would hurt more than anyone else. It would hurt MVS and Lazard, I would imagine.
Yeah, when both of them are in there, if it's just Lazard or just MVS, you can make a case to play the one that's there, opposite Adams. When both of them are there, it's just, again, you're just guessing. You're guessing who it's going to go to. You've seen spurts where it's Lazard. You've seen spurts where it's Valdez-Scantling. Too tough to predict. Aaron Jones as the RB1. A.J. Dillon, I think you can put in at the flex show. We've seen him.
I think so.
Now, he's come down. Over the last 3 weeks, he's come down the usage, but does have a touchdown in that stretch. And again, if they get up by a bunch, it could just be, okay, we don't want to, you know, run out Aaron Jones too much and Dillon gets some work.
Yeah, especially because, you know, the Packers are making the playoffs. It's just they're kind of just wrapping up the last couple games here.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers' toe is still bugging him, I'm sure. So I think the run game might see a little more work. And don't forget, the Vikings, they allow the 5th most rushing yards in the league so far. So they are, I mean, the defense is just bad from top to bottom this year. So I think you can start most guys, but the running game, I think, is certainly one you can lean on.
And we get to Monday Night Football main event. Ben Roethlisberger's last game, probably at Heinz Field. They're bringing in a veteran show. They're trying to make it the emotion to get that bad Steelers team all riled up, which very well could work. The Browns need to score quickly to try to take that crowd out of it. I think it's a real short conversation. Steelers, Najee Harris, because if they're running, he's getting the ball. And then PPR especially, Deontay Johnson, because he just gets pushed the ball all over. If Pat Freiermuth plays, he is questionable. If he plays, we have seen Freiermuth turn into a pretty good middle tight end one. So I think if he plays, you can get him in there, but you got to track that.
Yeah, well, he is. I'm not going to say he's touchdown dependent, but I think Big Ben loves to look his way in the red zone. So I think if he plays, I think you play him. But, you know, it's Monday night, so you may not want to wait that long. Mm. But, I mean, if your other option is like a Cole Kmet, maybe you do want to wait, right? So I do like Pat Freiermuth this week if he plays. Big Ben as well. I mean, last home game, I don't know how much. You can't quantify this kind of stuff, but if he does play, you know, maybe the emotion fires him up. Maybe he posts higher numbers than he has. I mean, he hasn't been terrible this year, honestly, in some weeks. So it's not completely out of the question.
Oh, go get him, Myles Garrett. Snuff him out. Let's go. Let's go. All right. And then for the Browns, really, it's Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt is he's been practicing. The expectation is that he should play. But, Joe, with him being off for so long, I don't want him in at the flex right now. Normally, I would. But right now, I think, honestly, with the Browns, it is just Nick Chubb.
Maybe Jarvis Landry, maybe. But I don't know if you want to take that risk on championship weekend. I agree. It's probably just Nick Chubb.
All right, Joe, let's hit the danger zone.
Welcome to the danger zone.
Danger zone.
Danger's my middle name.
Danger zone.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
As do we, Baker Mayfield. Yes. All right. My danger zone pick show is Trey Lance, who will be filling in for the injured Jimmy Garoppolo, finishes as a top three overall fantasy football quarterback. He's got the legs. He's got the cannon arm. I don't know if it's going to be real life pretty, but at the end of the day, after four quarters, you will look up and see Trey Lance having dominated. And for those bold enough to go with him in your fantasy finals, I think you're going to be rewarded.
All right, Trey Lance, top three performance against the Texans, Andy. I'm going to go with another quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. Whoa. Big Ben. Big Ben's going to turn back time and turn in a top five fantasy performance against the Browns. Something he has only done, I want to say, like once or twice this entire season, given that noodle arm. But Big Ben, turn back time, top five QB performance, and helps the Steelers to a win, and it's probably the final game of his career.
The only thing you want to bet on is over under the amount of tears Ben Roethlisberger will shed like last year on the bench afterwards. There you go. All right, folks. Hey, you know what? That reminds me. Next week, we'll get into our fantasy football moments of shame from the year. So you can think on that. Get those ready. Championship weekend, folks. Good luck. And we will be back with you next week. For show, I'm Andy. This is the Fantasy Show. And you've been listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network. We'll be right back.